Thank you, ma'am. I'm glad your head is faster than your friend's hand. This place may not seem much to you, but it's mine, and you just kept it in one piece for me.
You are welcome, Kalin said. Do you have a room for us?
The proprietor put the toothpick back in the corner of his mouth. There's one upstairs at the end of the hall on the right that has a bolt on the door. We have two friends outside, Richard said. I could use some help getting them up there. The man gave a nod of his head back at the room full of men. It wouldn't do if that lot saw you were burdened with injured companions. You two go up to the room, just like they expect. My son's in the kitchen. We'll bring your friends up the back stairs so no one will see.
Richard didn't like the idea.
Have a little faith, my friend, the other said in a low voice, or you may be bringing harm to your friends. By the way, my name's Bill.
Richard looked at Kalin. Her face was unreadable. He looked back to the proprietor. The man was tough, hardened, but didn't appear to be devious. Still, it was his friends' lives at stake. He tried to keep his voice from sounding as threatening as he felt.
All right, Bill. We will do as you ask.
Bill gave a small smile and a nod as he rolled the toothpick across his mouth. Richard and Kalin went up to the room and waited. The ceiling was lower than was comfortable. The wall next to the single bed was covered with years of spit. In the opposite corner were a three-legged table and a short bench. A single oil lamp sat glowing weakly on the table. The windowless room was otherwise bare and had a naked feel to it. It smelled rank. Richard paced while Kalin sat on the bed, watching him, looking slightly uncomfortable. Finally, he strode over to her.
I can't believe what you did down there.
She stood up and looked him in the eyes.
The result is what matters, Richard. If I had let you do what you were about to do, your life would have been at great risk, for nothing of value.
But those men think...
And you care what those men think?
No! But...
He could feel his face redden.
I am sworn to protect the life of the Seeker with my own. I would do anything required to protect you.
She gave him a meaningful look, lifting an eyebrow.
Anything.
Frustrated, he tried to think how to put into words how angry he was without making it sound as if he was angry with her. He had been at the brink of lethal commitment, a brink only one wrong word away. Pulling back was agonizingly difficult. He could still feel his blood pounding with the lust for violence. It was difficult to understand the way the anger twisted his own rationality with hot need, much less explain it to her. Looking into her green eyes was making him relax, though, cooling his anger.
Richard, you have to keep your mind where it belongs.
What do you mean?
Dark and raw. That is where your mind belongs. Those men downstairs are of no concern to us. We must only get past them, that's all. Nothing else. Don't expend your thoughts on them. It's a waste. Put your energy to our job.
He let out a breath and nodded.
You're right. I'm sorry. You did a brave thing tonight, as much as I didn't like it.
She put her arms around him, her head against his chest, and gave him a slow hug. There was a soft knock at the door. After assuring himself it was Bill, he opened the door. The proprietor and his son carried Chase in and laid him carefully on the floor. When the son, a lanky young man, saw Kalin, he fell instantly and hopelessly in love. Richard understood the feeling. Nonetheless, he didn't appreciate it. Bill pointed with his thumb.
This is my son, Randy.
Randy was in a trance, staring at Kalin. Bill turned to Richard, wiping the rain off the top of his head with the rag he kept over his shoulder. He still had the toothpick in his mouth.
You didn't tell me your friend was Del Brandstone.
Richard's caution flared.
That a problem?
Bill smiled.
Not with me. The warden and me have had our disagreements, but he's a fair man. He gives me no trouble. He stays here sometimes when he's in the area on official business, but the men downstairs would tear him apart if they knew he was up here.
They might try, Richard corrected. A slight smile curled the corners of Bill's mouth.
We'll get the other one.
When they left, Richard gave Kalin 2 silver coins. When they come back, give the boy 1 of these to take the horses to the stables for us and tend to them. Tell him that if he will spend the night watching them and have them ready for us at sunrise, you will add the other.
What makes you think he will do it?
Richard gave a short laugh. Don't worry, he'll do it, if you ask. Just smile. Bill came back carrying Zed in his husky arms. Randy followed, carrying most of their packs. Bill gently laid the old man on a floor next to Chase. He gave Richard a look from under his curly eyebrows, then turned to his son.
Randy, go get this young lady a basin and a pitcher of water, and a towel, a clean towel. She might like to clean up.
Randy backed out of the room, smiling and tripping over his feet as he went. Bill watched him go, then turned to Richard with an intense look. He took the toothpick out of his mouth.
These 2 are in bad shape. I won't ask you what happened to them because a smart fellow wouldn't tell me, and I think you're a smart fellow. We don't have a healer around here, but there's someone who may be able to help, a woman named Addie. They call her the Bone Woman. Most people are afraid of her. That bunch downstairs won't go near her place.
Richard remembered Chase saying Addie was his friend. He frowned.
Why?
Bill glanced to Kalin and back to Richard, narrowing his eyes.
Because they're superstitious. They think she's bad luck of some sort, and because she lives near the boundary. They say that people she doesn't like have a bad habit of dropping dead. Mind you, I'm not saying it's true. I don't believe it myself. I think it's all made up in their own heads. She's not a healer, but I know of folks she's helped. She may be able to help your friends. At least you better hope she can, because they're not going to last much longer without help.
Richard combed his fingers through his hair.
How do we find this Bone Woman?
Turn left down the trail in front of the stables. It's about a 4-hour ride.
And why are you helping us? Richard asked.
Bill smiled and folded his muscled arms across his chest.
Let's just say I'm helping the warden. He keeps some of my other customers at bay, and the wardens bring me an income from the government with their business, here and from my dry goods store next door. If he makes it, you just be sure to tell him it was me that helped save his life.
He chuckled.
That'll vex him good.
Richard smiled. He understood Bill's meaning. Chase hated to have anyone help him. Bill did indeed know Chase.
I will be sure to let him know you saved his life.
The other looked pleased.
Now, since this Bone Woman lives by herself, way out by the boundary, and I'm to ask for her help, I think it would be a good idea if I took her some things. Can you get together a load of supplies for her?
Sure. I'm an approved supplier. I get reimbursed from Heartland. Of course, that thieving council takes most of it back in taxes. I can put it in my tally book for the government to pay, if this is official business.
It is.
Randy came back with the basin, water, and towels. Kalin put a silver coin in his hand and asked him about caring for the horses. He looked to his father for approval. Bill nodded.
Just tell me which horse is yours and I'll take extra good care of it, Randy said with a big grin.
Kalin smiled back.
They are all mine. Take care with each. My life depends on it.
Randy got a serious look on his face.
You can count on me.
Unable to decide what to do with his hands, he finally jammed them in his pockets.
I won't let anyone near them.
He backed toward the door again, and when all but his head was through it, added,
I just want you to know I don't believe a word of what those men downstairs are saying about you, and I told them so.
Kalin smiled in spite of herself. Thank you, but I do not want you to endanger yourself on my account. Please stay away from those men, and do not mention that you talked to me. It will only embolden them. Randy grinned and nodded and left. Bill rolled his eyes and shook his head. He turned to Kalin with a smile.
You wouldn't consider staying here and marrying the boy, would you? It would do him good to have a mate.
An odd look of pain and panic flashed across Kaylin's eyes. She sat on the bed, looking down at the floor.
Just kidding, girl, Bill said apologetically.
He turned back to Richard.
I'll bring you each a plate of supper, boiled potatoes and meat.
Meat?
Richard asked suspiciously. Bill chuckled.
Don't worry. I wouldn't dare serve those men bad meat. I could lose my head.
In a few minutes, he returned and set two steaming dishes of food on the table. Thank you for your help, Richard said. Bill raised an eyebrow.
Don't worry. They will all be in my tally book. I'll bring it to you in the morning to sign. There anyone in Heartland who will recognize your signature?
Richard smiled. I think so. My name is Richard Cipher. My brother is First Counselor. Bill flinched, suddenly shaken.
I'm sorry. Not that your brother is First Counselor. I mean that I'm sorry I didn't know. I mean that if I had known, I'd have given you better accommodations. You can stay at my house. It's not much, but it's better than this. I'll take your things over right now.
Bill, it's all right. Richard went to the man and put a hand on his back, reassuring him. The proprietor looked suddenly less fierce. My brother is First Counselor. I am not. The room is fine. Everything is fine.
You sure? Everything. You're not going to send the army here, are you?
You've been a big help to us, honest. I have nothing to do with the army. Bill didn't look convinced.
You're with the head of the Boundary Wardens.
Richard smiled warmly. He's a friend of mine. For many years. The old man, too. They're my friends, that's all. Bill's eyes brightened.
Well, if that's true, then how about if I add a couple extra rooms to the tally book, seeing as how they won't know you all stayed together?
Richard kept smiling and patted the man's back.
That would be wrong. I won't put my name to it.
Breathing out with a sigh, Bill broke into a big grin.
So, you are Chase's friend.
He nodded to himself.
Now, I believe you. I haven't been able to get that man to fatten my tally book in all the time I've known him.
Richard put some silver in the man's hand. But this wouldn't be wrong. I appreciate what you're doing for us. I would also appreciate it if you would water the ale tonight. Drunken men die too easy. Bill gave a knowing smile. Then Richard added, You have dangerous customers. The man studied Richard's eyes, glanced to Kaylin, then back again.
Tonight I do, he agreed.
Richard gave him a hard look. If anyone comes through that door tonight, I will kill them, no questions asked. Bill looked at him for a long moment.
I'll see what I can do to keep that from happening, even if I have to knock some heads together.
He went to the door.
Eat your supper before it gets cold, and take care of your lady. She has a good head on her shoulders.
He turned to Kaylin and winked.
And a pretty one, too. One more thing, Bill. The boundary is failing. It will be down in a few weeks. Take care with yourself.
The man's chest rose as he took a deep breath. He held the doorknob as he looked into Richard's eyes for a long moment.
I think the council named the wrong brother First Counselor. But then, they didn't get to be counselors because they worry about doing right. I'll come get you in the morning when the sun is up and it's safe.
When he left, Richard and Kaylin sat close on the small bench and ate their meal. Their room was at the back of the building, and the men downstairs were at the front, so it was quieter than Richard thought it would be. All they could hear from the crowd was a muffled hum. The food was better than Richard expected, or maybe it was just that he was famished. The bed looked wonderful to him, too, as he was dead tired. Kaylin noticed.
You only had an hour or two of sleep last night. I will stand first watch. If the men downstairs decide to come up here, it will not be until later that they work up the courage. If they come, it would be better if you were rested.
Easier to kill people when you're well rested?
He was immediately sorry it came out the way it did. He hadn't meant it to sound harsh. He realized he was gripping his fork as if it were a sword.
I'm sorry, Richard. I didn't mean it that way. I only meant I don't want you to get hurt. If you are too tired, you will not be able to protect yourself as well. I'm afraid for you.
She pushed a potato around the plate with her fork.
Her voice was hardly more than a whisper.
I'm so sorry you had to be pulled into this mess.
I don't want you to have to kill people. I didn't want you to have to kill those men downstairs. That's the other reason I did what I did, so you would not have to kill them.
He looked over at her as she stared down at her plate. It hurt his heart to see the look of pain on her face. He gave her a playful shove with his shoulder.
I wouldn't have missed this journey for anything. Gives me time to be with my friend.
She looked at him out of the corner of her eye as he smiled. She smiled back and put her head against the side of his shoulder for a second before eating the potato. Her smile warmed him.
Why did you want me to ask the boy to take care of the horses?
Results. That's what you said was most important. The poor kid is hopelessly in love with you. Since you were the one who asked, he will guard the horses better than we could ourselves.
She looked at him as if she didn't believe him.
You have that effect on men, he assured her.
Her smile faded a little, taking on a haunted look. Richard knew he was getting too close to her secrets, so he said nothing else. When they finished eating, she walked to the basin, dipped the end of a towel in the water, and went to Zed. She wiped his face tenderly, then looked over to Richard.
He is the same, no worse. Please, Richard, let me have first watch. Get some sleep.
He nodded, rolled himself into the bed, and was asleep in seconds. Sometime in the early morning, she woke him for his watch. As she went to sleep, he washed his face with the cold water, trying to wake up, then sat on the bench, leaning against the wall, waiting for any sign of trouble. He sucked on a piece of dried fruit, trying to get the bad taste out of his mouth. An hour before sunrise, there was an urgent knock at the door.
Richard,
a muffled voice called.
It's Bill. Unbolt the door. There's trouble.
Chapter 16. Kaylin sprang out of bed, rubbing the sleep from her eyes as Richard unbolted the door. She pulled her knife. Bill, breathing hard, squeezed in and pushed the door shut with his back. Beads of sweat dotted his forehead.
What is it? What's happened? Richard asked.
Everything was pretty quiet.
Bill swallowed, catching his breath.
Then a little while, these two fellas showed up, right out of nowhere. Big men, thick necks, blonde hair, good-looking, armed to the teeth. The kind of men you try not to look in the eye.
He took a few deep breaths. Richard stole a quick glance at Kaylin's eyes. There was no doubt in them as to who the men were. Apparently, the wizard trouble the quad had run into wasn't trouble enough.
Two? Richard asked. You sure there weren't more?
Only saw two come in. But that was enough.
Bill's wide eyes looked out from under his curly eyebrows.
One was tore up pretty good, arm in a sling, big claw cuts down his other arm. Didn't seem to bother him any, though. Anyway, they started asking about a woman that sounded a lot like your lady here, except she isn't wearing a white dress like they described. They started for the stairs, and a quarrel broke out about who was going to do what with her. Your red-haired friend jumped the one with the sling and slit his throat from ear to ear. The other fella cut down a bunch of my customers in a heartbeat. I've never seen anything like it. Then all of a sudden, he just wasn't there anymore. Vanished into nothing. There's blood everywhere. The rest of the lot are down there right now, arguing about who's going to be first to...
He glanced at Kaylin, leaving the rest unsaid. He wiped his forehead with the back of his arm.
Randy's bringing the horses to the back. You have to get out now. Head for Addie's. The sun's an hour away, the hounds too, so you'll be all right. But not if you delay.
Richard grabbed Chase's legs, Bill his shoulders. He told Kaylin to bolt the door and get their things together. With Chase in their arms, they trudged down the back stairs and out into the darkness and rain. Lamplight coming from the windows reflected in the puddles, giving the wet, black forms of the horses yellow highlights. Randy was waiting, looking worried as he held the horses. They dropped Chase in a litter and ran as quietly as possible up the stairs. Bill scooped Zed into his arms, while Richard and Kaylin threw on their cloaks and grabbed the packs. The three of them, Bill, Richard, then Kaylin, raced down the stairs and for the door. As they burst out the door, they almost tripped over Randy, sprawled on the ground. Richard looked up just in time to see the red-haired man lunging. He leapt back, narrowly missing the sweep of the long knife. The man went face first into the mud.
With surprising quickness, he came to his knees and raged, and then went rigid, the sword point an inch from his nose. The air rang with the sound of steel. The man looked up with vicious black eyes. Water and mud ran from the strings of his hair. Richard flicked the sword a quarter turn in his hand and whacked him hard over the head with the flat of the blade. He went down in a limp heap. Bill laid Zed in the litter while Kalin turned Randy over. One eye was swollen shut. Rain splattered on his face. He groaned. When he saw Kalin with his one good eye, he broke into a grin. Relieved that he wasn't hurt worse, she gave him a quick hug and helped him up.
"He jumped me," Randy said apologetically. "I'm sorry."
"You are a brave young man. You have nothing to be sorry for. Thank you for helping us."
She turned to Bill.
"You too."
Bill smiled and gave a nod. Zed and Chase were quickly covered with blankets and oilcloth, and the packs loaded. Bill told them that Addie's supplies were already on Chase's horse. Richard and Kalin mounted their horses. She flipped the silver coin to Randy.
"Payment on delivery, as promised," she told him.
He caught the coin and grinned. Richard bent down and clasped hands with Randy and thanked him earnestly, then pointed angrily at Bill.
"You! I want you to add everything to your tally book. Include all the damage, all your time and trouble, even the grave markers. I want you to add a fair fee for saving our lives. If the council doesn't want to approve payment, you tell them that you saved the life of the brother of the first counselor, and Richard Cipher said if they don't pay, I'll personally have the head of the man responsible, and I will put it on a pike on the front lawn of my brother's house."
Bill nodded and laughed over the sound of the rain. Richard pulled back on the reins to keep his horse in place as it danced about, eager to go. He pointed down at the unconscious man in the mud. He was furious.
"The only reason I didn't kill this man is because he killed a man worse than himself, and in so doing may have unwittingly saved Kalin's life. But he is guilty of murder, intent to murder, and intent to rape. I suggest you hang him before he wakes."
Bill looked up at him with hard eyes.
"Done."
"Don't forget what I said about the boundary. Trouble comes. Take care with yourself."
Bill held Richard's eyes as he put his hairy arm around his son's shoulders.
"We won't forget."
A slight smile curled the corners of his mouth.
"Long life to the Seeker."
Richard looked down at him in surprise and then grinned. Smiling quenched some of the fire of his rage.
"When I first saw you," Richard said, "my thought was that you were not a devious man. I find I was mistaken."
Richard and Kalin pulled their hoods up and urged their horses on into the dark rain toward the Bone Woman. The rain had quickly drowned the lights from South Haven and left the travelers to grope their way through the blackness. Chase's horses had carefully picked their way down the trail. Trained by the wardens for this kind of duty, they were comfortable in the adverse conditions. Dawn had struggled interminably at bringing light to the new day. Even after Richard knew the sun was up, the world still hung in half-light between night and day, a ghost of morning. The rain had helped to cool his hot rage. Richard and Kalin knew that the last member of the quad was loose somewhere, and they watched every movement as a potential threat. They knew that sooner or later he would come at them. The uncertainty of when ate at their concentration. Worry over what Bill had said, that Zed and Chase wouldn't last long, gnawed at his spirit. If this woman, Addie, couldn't help, he didn't know what he would do. If she couldn't help, his two friends would die. He couldn't imagine a world without Zed. A world without his tricks and help and comfort would be a dead world. He realized that he was getting a lump in his throat thinking about it. Zed would tell him not to worry about what might be, but to worry about what was. But what was seemed almost as bad. His father had been murdered. Darken Rall was close to obtaining all the boxes. Richard's two oldest friends were near death. He was alone with a woman he cared about, but wasn't supposed to care about.
She still kept her secrets closed to him, locked away. He could tell she fought a constant battle over it in her mind. Sometimes, when he felt he was getting closer to her, he saw pain and fear in her eyes. Soon they would be in the Midlands, where people knew what she was. He wanted her to be the one to tell him. He didn't want to learn it from someone he didn't know. If she didn't tell him soon, he would have to ask her. Against his nature or not, he would have to. So deep was he in thought, he hadn't realized they had been on the trail for over 4 hours. The forest was drinking in the rain. Trees loomed dark and huddled in the mist. The moss on their trunks was vibrant and lush. It stood out on the bark of trees and in round humps on the ground, green and spongy. The lichen on the rocks shone bright yellow and rust in the damp. In some places, water ran down the trail, turning it into a temporary creek. The poles of Zed's litter splashed through it, going over rocks and roots, rocking the old man's head from side to side on the rougher sections. His feet rode inches from water when they crossed runoff streams. Richard smelled the sweetness of wood smoke in the stillness. Birch wood. He realized that the area they were entering had changed somehow. It looked the same as it had for hours, yet it was different. Rain floated down in quiet reverence for the forest. The whole place felt somehow sacred. He felt like an intruder disturbing the peace of timeless ages. He wanted to say something to Kaelin, but it seemed as if talking would be a sacrilege. He understood why the men from the inn wouldn't come up here. Their foul presence would be a violation. They came to a house that so blended with its surroundings it was almost invisible next to the trail. A wisp of wood smoke curled from its chimney up into the misty air. The logs of the walls were weathered and ancient, matching the color of the surrounding trees with nothing other than the ground it sat upon disturbed. The house seemed to be growing from the forest floor, with trees towering around it protectively. The roof was covered in a mass of ferns. A smaller, slanted roof covered a door and a porch large enough for only 2 or 3 people to stand on at once. There was a square, 4-paned window in the front and another on the side of the house Richard could see. None had curtains. In front of the old house, a patch of ferns bowed and nodded when water from the trees dripped onto them. Mist turned their distinctive, dusty, pale green bright in the wetness. A narrow path slipped through their midst. In the center of the ferns, in the center of the path, stood a tall woman, taller than Kaelin, not as tall as Richard. She wore a simple tan robe of a coarse weave with red and yellow symbols and decorations at the neck. Her hair was fine and straight, a mix of black and gray, parted in the middle, chopped square with her strong jaw. Age had not stolen the handsome features of her weathered face. She leaned on a crutch. She had but 1 foot. Richard brought the horses to a slow halt in front of her. The woman's eyes were completely white.
"I be Addy. Who be you?"
Addy's voice had a harsh, throaty, raspy quality that sent a shiver up Richard's spine.
"Four friends,"
Richard said in a respectful tone. Light rain fell in a hushed, soft patter. He waited. Fine wrinkles covered her face. She took the crutch from under her arm and folded both thin hands over the top, lending her weight to it. Addie's thin lips pulled tighter in a slight smile.
"One friend," she rasped. "3 dangerous people. I decide if they be friends."
She nodded slightly to herself. Richard and Kaelin stole a sidelong glance at each other. His guard went up. He felt somehow uncomfortable sitting on the horse, as if talking down to her suggested disrespect. He dismounted, Kaelin following his lead. With his horse's reins in his hand, he moved to stand in front of the animal, Kaelin next to him.
"I am Richard Cipher. This is my friend,
Kaelin Amnell. The woman studied his face with her white eyes. He had no idea if she could see, but he didn't know how it could be possible. She turned to Kaelin. The woman's raspy voice spoke a few words to Kaelin in a language he couldn't understand. Kaelin's eyes held the old woman's, and she gave Addy a slight bow of her head. It had been a greeting of deference. Richard hadn't recognized the words Kaelin or Amnell anywhere in it. The fine hairs on the back of his neck stiffened. Kaelin had been addressed by title. He had been around Kaelin long enough to know that by the way she was standing, with her back straight and her head held assertively up, she was on guard. Serious guard. If she had been a cat, her back would be arched, her fur standing on end. The two women faced each other. Age had been dismissed for the moment by each. They measured each other on qualities he couldn't see. This was a woman who could bring them to harm, and he knew the sword wasn't going to protect him. Addy turned back to Richard.
Put words to your need, Richard Cipher.
We need your help. Addy's head bobbed.
True.
Our two friends are hurt. One, Del Banstone, told me he is your friend.
True,
Addy said again in her raspy voice. Another man in South Haven told us you may be able to help them. In return for your help, we brought you supplies. We thought it would be fair to offer you something. Addy leaned closer.
Lie!
She thumped her crutch once on the ground. Richard and Kaelin both jerked back a little. Richard didn't know what to say. Addy waited.
It's true. The supplies are right here.
He turned a little, indicating Chase's horse.
We thought it would be fair.
Lie!
She thumped her crutch once again. Richard folded his arms, his temper rising. His friends were dying while he played games with this woman.
What is a lie?
We be a lie.
She thumped her crutch again.
You be the one who thought to offer supplies. You be the one who decided to bring them. Not you and Kaelin. You. We be a lie. I be the truth.
Richard unfolded his arms, holding them out to his sides.
What difference does that make? I, we, what does it matter?
She stared at him.
One be true, one be a lie. How much more difference could there be?
Richard folded his arms across his chest again, frowning.
Chase must have a very difficult time telling you the stories of his adventures.
Addie's small smile came back.
True,
she nodded. She leaned a little closer, motioning with her hand.
Bring your friends inside.
She turned, put the crutch back under her arm, and worked her way to the house. Richard and Kaelin looked at each other, and then went to get Chase, putting the blankets away first. He had Kaelin take the boundary warden's feet. He took the heavy half. As soon as they lugged Chase through the door, Richard discovered why she was called the Bone Woman. Bones of every kind stood out in stark relief against the dark walls. Every wall was covered. Against one were shelves that held skulls, skulls of beasts Richard didn't recognize. Most were fearsome-looking, with long, curved teeth. At least none were human, he thought. Some of the bones were assembled into necklaces. Some were decorated into objects of purpose with feathers and colored beads, chalk circles drawn around them on the surface of the wall. There were stacks of bones in the corner, looking unimportant en masse. The ones on the wall were displayed carefully, with space around them to signify their importance. On the mantel over the fireplace was a rib bone as thick as Richard's arm, as long as he was tall, with symbols he didn't recognize carved in dark lines along its length. There were so many bleached bones around him that Richard felt as if he were in the belly of a dead beast. They set Chase down while Richard's head swiveled around, looking. Rainwater dripped off Kaelin, Chase, and himself. Addy towered over him. She was as dry as the bones around her. She had stood outside in the rain, yet she was dry. Richard reconsidered the wisdom of his decision to come here.
If Chase hadn't told him Addie was his friend, he would not be doing this. He looked to Kalin. I'll go get Zed. It was more of a question than a statement.
I will help carry in the supplies, she offered, casting a glance at Addie.
Richard gently laid Zed at the bone woman's feet. Together, he and Kalin stacked the supplies on the table. When they had finished, both went and stood next to their friends, in front of Addie, both peering at the bones. Addie watched them.
"Who'll be this one?" she asked, pointing at Zed.
"Zedekus Zul Zorander, my friend," he said.
"Wizard!" Addie snapped.
"My friend!" Richard yelled, his anger unhinged. Addie calmly looked at him with her white eyes while he glared back. Zed was going to die if he didn't get help, and Richard was in no mood to allow that to happen. Addie leaned forward, placing her wrinkled hand flat against his stomach. A little surprised, he stood still while she rubbed her hand in a slow circle, as if seeking to discern something. She took her hand back, carefully folding it over the other on the crutch. Her thin lips pulled to the sides in a slight smile as she looked up.
The righteous rage of a true seeker. Good.
She looked over to Kalin.
You have nothing to fear from him, child. It be the anger of truth. It be the anger of the teeth. The good need not fear it.
With the aid of her crutch, she took a few steps to Kalin. Addie placed her hand on Kalin's stomach and repeated the procedure. When she was finished, she laid her hand over the crutch and nodded. She looked to Richard.
She has the fire. The anger burns in her, too.
But it be the anger of the tongue. You have to fear it. All have to fear it. It be dangerous if she ever lets it out.
Richard gave Addie a leery look. I dislike riddles. They leave too much room for misinterpretation. If you want to tell me something, then tell me.
Tell me, she mocked. Her eyes narrowed. What be stronger? Teeth or tongue?
Richard took a deep breath.
The answer is obviously teeth. Therefore, I choose tongue.
Addie gave him a disapproving scowl.
Sometimes your tongue moves when it shouldn't. Make it be still, she commanded in a dry rasp.
Somewhat embarrassed, Richard kept quiet. Addie smiled and gave a nod.
See?
Richard frowned.
No. The anger of teeth be forced by contact, violence by touch, combat. The magic of the sword of truth be the magic of the anger of teeth, ripping, tearing. The anger of the tongue need not touch, but it be forced just the same. It cuts just as quick.
I'm not sure what you mean, Richard said.
Addie reached out, her long finger stretching to him and lightly touching his shoulder. His head was suddenly filled with a vision that was a memory of the night before. He saw the men at the inn. He was standing in front of them with Kalin, and the men were ready to attack. He was grasping the sword of truth, ready for the violence necessary to stop them, knowing that nothing short of blood would suffice. Then he saw Kalin next to him, talking to the mob, stopping them, holding them with her words, running her tongue across her lip, giving meaning without speaking. She was taking the fire from them, disarming the depraved without touching them, doing what the sword could not. He began to understand what Addie meant. Kalin's hand swept up sharply and snatched Addie's wrist, pulling the hand away from Richard. There was a dangerous look in her eyes, one that wasn't lost on Addie.
I am sworn to protect the life of the Seeker. I do not know what you are doing. You will forgive me if I overreact. I mean no disrespect, but I could not forgive myself if I failed in my task. There is much at risk.
Addie looked down at the hand around her wrist.
I understand, child. Forgive me for thoughtlessly giving you cause for alarm.
Kalin held the wrist a moment longer to make her point, then released it. Addie laid the hand over her other on the top of the crutch. She looked back to Richard.
Teeth and tongue work together, Same with the magic. You command the magic of the sword, the magic of the teeth. But that gives you magic of the tongue also. The magic of the tongue works because you back it with the sword.
She turned her head slowly to Kaelin.
You have both, child, teeth and tongue. You use them together, one backing the other.
And what is a wizard's magic? Richard asked.
Addy looked at him, considering the question.
There be many kinds of magic. Teeth and tongue be only two. Wizards know them all, save those of the underworld. Wizards use most of what they know.
She looked down at Zed.
He be a very dangerous man.
He has ever shown me anything but kindness and understanding. He is a gentle man.
True, but he also be a dangerous one, Addy repeated.
Richard let it drop.
And Darken Rall? Do you know of him, what kind he can use?
Addy's eyes narrowed.
Oh, yes, she hissed. I know of him. He can use all the magic a wizard does, and the magic a wizard cannot. Darken Rall can use the underworld.
Icy bumps rippled up Richard's arms. He wanted to ask what kind of magic Addy had, but decided better of it. She turned once more to Kaelin.
Be warned, child. You have the true power of the tongue. You have never seen it. It would be a terrible doing if you ever let it loose.
I don't know what you are talking about, Kaelin said, her eyebrows in a frown.
True, Addy nodded. True.
She reached out and gently placed her hand on Kaelin's shoulder, working her fingers, bringing her closer.
Your mother died before you became a woman, before you were of the age when she could teach you of it.
Kaelin swallowed hard.
What can you teach me of it?
Nothing. I am sorry, but I have no understanding of its workings. It be something only your mother can teach when you reached the age of woman. Since your mother did not show you, the teaching be lost. But the power be still there. Be warned, just because you were not taught its use does not mean it cannot come out.
Did you know my mother? Kaelin asked in a painful whisper.
Addie's face softened as she looked at Kaelin. She nodded slowly.
I remember your family name, and I remember her green eyes. They not be easy to forget. You have her eyes. When she carried you, I knew her.
A tear rolled down Kaelin's cheek, and her voice came in the same painful whisper.
My mother wore a necklace with a small bone on it. She gave it to me when I was a child. I wore it always until Denis, the girl I called my sister. When she died, I buried it with her. She had always been fond of it. You gave that necklace to my mother, didn't you?
Addy closed her eyes and nodded.
Yes, child. I gave it to her to protect her unborn daughter, to keep her child safe, that she might grow to be strong like her mother. I can see that she has.
Kaelin slipped her arms around the old woman.
Thank you, Addy, she said tearfully, for helping my mother.
Addy held the crutch with one hand and with the other rubbed Kaelin's back in genuine sympathy. After a few moments, Kaelin separated from the old woman and wiped the tears from her eyes. Richard saw his opening and went for it with single-minded determination.
Addy, he said in a soft voice, you helped Kaelin before she was born. Help her now. Her life and the lives of a great many others are at stake. Darken Rall hunts her, hunts me. We need the help of these two men. Please help them. Help Kaelin.
Addy gave him her small smile. She nodded her head a little to herself.
The wizard chooses his seekers well. Fortunately for you, patience be not a prerequisite for the post. Be at ease. I would not have had you bring them in if I did not intend to help them.
Well, perhaps you cannot see, he pressed, but Zed especially is in bad shape. His breathing is hardly there at all.
Addie's white eyes regarded him with strained tolerance.
Tell me, she said in her dry rasp, do you know Kaylin's secret, the one she keeps from you?
Richard said nothing and tried to show no emotion. Addie turned to Kaylin.